This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and you're listening to The Property Show. It's the last Friday of the month, which means we have our monthly property legal clinic with Chris Tan of Shure Associates. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, everyone.
So today, Chris is going to tackle some of your legal conundrums. So thank you, everyone, for writing in to property@bfm.my. Now, we have a question here from Janie. So she's asking, Chris, I received an SFP contract which stated that the property development will be for 380 units. But later, the developer delivered more, 400 units in total. So the developer now wants me to re-sign this SNP. Some of the changes that I've noticed in the new document include smaller common areas and the MNO is less. Her question is the developer allowed to do this and what are the repercussions?
Okay, so I think the answer is that it depends. Like any good lawyer, the first answer is depends because we need to know more facts. But from the question is that the fact that there is a need to sign a new set of document seems to suggest that the developer is after consent from all the purchasers. So in that sense, which means that they want to rectify this, which means that they acknowledge that they have built more, they acknowledge that now it's a smaller common area, then they acknowledge that the MNO is less, you know, for that matter, so they want your consent. But there's a very, very small likelihood that this could be possible, whereby the changes might be due to order from the authority for technical reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I don't think a technical reason would mean that you have extra 10 units, all right, in that sense. But I would think that a technical reason would probably be, you know, changes of the common area, maybe the allowance for the turning in the car park need to be bigger, therefore smaller or lesser car park unit or
right.
Whatever that is. But again, like I said, factually, we have not been provided enough for that. But just from the assumption, from the way the question is framed, and from the need to sign the SMP again, then I'm saying to you is that it's really seeking the consent of all purchasers in that sense.
And that's common, right? So whenever there are changes, you may need to re-sign the document.
I wouldn't say it's common because first of all, the structure of the law in this regards have always been that, you know, if you have framed your development in certain way, there shouldn't be any changes. Right, if you frame your in certain way, if it's been approved in certain way, it shouldn't be any changes.
Yeah, because right? For me, I mean, there's a bit of a red flag
sure.
Because if you had marketed it for
sure.
380 units,
yep.
how come you can suddenly add an extra 20 units to make it around 400 figure?
Sure, that's what I'm saying to you is that you know, because I think that's another repercussion here because if you are taking financing for your unit, let's say if the bank find out. Correct. So a 400 unit development compared to a 380 unit development, is there a difference in valuations? All right, in that sense.
Could that be?
It could be, because
oh, could
I'm
be.
Saying to you is that then there's also, because of that, there's a smaller common area, for example.
Mm.
When there's smaller common area, again, would it have impact on the valuations? And if the bank find out, then they're actually saying that, hey, actually, I was financing a 380-unit project where you bought one unit.
Mm.
But now it's a 400, then maybe they will say different. I mean, for all intents and purposes, there is a right to stop the loan, you know, or even call back for that. But it's a possibility, like I said. But most of the time, of course, there is also making the developer very answerable to the bank as well. Because the last thing the developer want is that, oh, you can get the consent from the purchaser to say, okay, I agreed, now it's 400 and then lesser common area and whatnot. But effectively, it also means that whatever document at the bank side has now been disturbed. Because earlier on, when the bank give you a loan, when they ask for the SMP, it shows 380, now it's 400. And all these things still require the consent of the bank. And then probably there's a reprocessing required because the power attorney or any right assigned to the bank have now changed.
Right.
Correct? So in that sense, I would think that the repercussion is more than just signing and whatnot. Like, for example, I mean, the way I look at it, if you want to know an upside from this one, All right, because you say MNO is less.
So yeah,
if they say common area is less, right, then probably your contribution is less, and more people are contributing.
Right. So so the pool of people, the number of people contributing to that pool is more. So you probably have to pay less. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. It's just that Janie is also asking whether she as a buyer has the right to contest this. Can she do anything about it? Does she have any legal protection?
Before we go into everything, whether the right to contest, I mean, no one can force you to sign anything unless you want to sign.
Unless you want to buy that property.
Correct.
If you still want to buy it,
unless you want to sign, or you can just hold back and say, oh, I bought this, so now you are in breach. So when it's been breached, of course, depending what type of property is this. So if it is a residential property, then you have a recourse with the ministry, and then you can complain that they are not delivering as per what they promise, and you can go to the civil court if you want to. So like I said, they do have legal protection. No one can force anyone from signing anything.
Right.
Nobody will say that I'm signing this under duress unless there's really a gun pointing to your head, but I don't see a gun here. So when I'm advising, I think that, it's a question. Because I think when the developer requests for the signing of fresh SMP with all these changes, is again a new offer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you whether you want to accept or not.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Janie, for your question. We now have a question from Latif Nazardin, who wrote in on email. You too can write in property@bfm.my is our email address. Latif is asking, what actions can I take towards condo management legally if they did not provide us with the specifications in advance, but only later after the installations have been carried out? And there's two parts to this. The second part is he reckons the director of the management company has been very rude on the basis that he's not the owner. So is there any organization that he can take his complaint to and where this verbal harassment can be addressed?
Okay, I think the first one is that if you talk about the action to take against the condo because they fail to actually give you the spec beforehand and you have proceed with your installation of the aircon without the proper spec expected by the management,
mm-hmm,
I think you can refer the matter to Strata Management Tribunal as of right straight away because it's really a dispute between an owner and the management.
Mm.
So it's a good venue for you to explore because there's no need for legal representation and 100 ringgit is all you need to start a claim. It's also a very fast turnover because the moment they start, they have to give a decision within 60 days under the tribunal. So far, it's been very effective to deal with this kind of issues. But I think a lot more negotiation required in this sense. Now, as to the verbal abuse, as to the verbal harassment that's been claimed, the fact that you are not the owner, therefore it seems like you have been treated differently. So I'm thinking that, is there anything that we can take this complaint? Again, remember the board of valuer appraisal, estate agent and property manager. So if they are a licensed property manager, they should be regulated. The board is where, if there's any issue at all, you can raise in that sense.
Right.
But just be mindful that I'm not sure what are you after.
Mm.
If you're after for compensation in terms of money, I don't think so. Probably
what's the end game,
warning,
right?
Yeah. Kind of thing. So I'm just thinking that in that sense, you have to manage your own expectation. Just because you can complain, what can you do?
Mm.
Correct? So two things. One is refer to Strata Management Tribunal for the purpose of the installation spec differences, miscommunication and all that. Number two is really referring the conduct of the property manager to the board.
So as a tenant, Chris, do you have the right to act on behalf of the landlord, especially when it comes to, dealing with the property manager?
Let's put it this way. I mean, if you have properly authorized in that sense and it's communicated clearly or even to the extent of having a power attorney in your hand, perhaps, I don't see why not.
Mm. I think this is a matter of communication,
yes,
right? So, for instance, my landlord is a foreigner,
right,
and he has, given me, I think, authority to manage manage all matters with the condo management. And the fact that I think he told them that I will be liaising with them. So I think communication is quite key.
I mean, let's put it this way, we're talking about community living here.
Yes.
Right? So
everyone has to live together.
Correct. Have to talk to each other, have to notify, cannot assume too much. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Stay tuned for more with The Property Show in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9. Thanks for staying with The Property Show. I'm Melissa Idris with Chris Tan of Chur Associates. He's here with us for the monthly property legal clinic. We have another question here from Mr. Look, this time on the payment of management services. So let me just read. It's a bit of a long one, but stay with me. 5 years ago, the condo management committee, which consists mainly of residents, had declared in the AGM that all funds from the residents' maintenance and even sinking funds had been depleted. So they're claiming that they had to take a 600,000 ringgit loan to pay the contractors and keep the condo services running. So this resulted in all residents, about 440 condo units, having to pay an extra 124 ringgit a month for a period of a year. So Mr. Look regards what happened as a gross mismanagement, and he is refusing to pay this charge. This resulted in him being fined by the condo management committee, and most of the residents, he says, just paid the extra charges for a year to repay the loan. When he asked them why they did that, they said that they didn't want to cause trouble because they all have to live there, and only a small handful of the residents refused to pay. So his question, Chris, is, are residents responsible to pay for the follies or mismanagement of funds by the management committee?
Okay, so Mr. Lok, before we go into your question, I think making an allegation of mismanagement is a serious allegation.
Oh, that term is
correct,
a legal term.
Because I'm just thinking that, you know, I think until it is proven, let's not go into the word mismanagement.
How would you define it?
Well, I would say that if there's some fault or negligence on the part of the management with evidence, then it can be a cause of action. I would think that professional consultation with a lawyer would be helpful to understand whether there's such claim, right? And depending on the nature of the case, you can either seek the help of the police if it's a real fraud, criminal thing involved, commissioner buildings, for example, the strata management tribunal, and even the civil court for that matter. So until we can make out that, so that I think any allegation of mismanagement is premature at this moment. But generally, I mean, just to answer your question directly, it is for the strata owners. If you are the owners of the strata development scheme, if there's any deficit in the building management account, of course, it is for the owner to make good, right? Through the extra collection approved by the general meetings, right? So as a strata owner, you are also entitled for a set of accounts from the management corporations, okay? So which means that, Mr. Lok, if you're not happy with the so-called allegation of really mismanagement and everything else, then you can actually ask for a set of account and then check for yourself. Obviously, in every year during the annual general meeting, there is a professional auditor being appointed for the looking into and the proof of the account for that purpose. So, of course, there is a professional willing to stand by that account. But whether if there's any management mismanagement involved or not, we need to go into a little bit more details rather than answering like that.
Okay. All right. So he also, this is a two-part question. Right. So the other part of this was the fact that Mr. Look highlighted in the past year or so, the level of service had really gotten unacceptable, particularly the lifts, which, you know, you use on a daily basis.
Sure.
He is saying that if the condo management collects maintenance fees from us and charges a penalty for late payment, could there also be a compensation to residents when the services paid for are not available? Should the fees then be reduced if the services are incomplete?
Okay. So I think conceptually, I think is relating to the first question also. Mr. Lok must understand that all strata owners in the strata program, they in a strata development scheme, they are all part of a management corporation that has elected the committee during the AGM. So you are like a shareholder of a company, right, in that sense. So, and committee are appointed directors to the board in that sense. So asking compensation from the management from the management committee for a bad service is like drawing from the building management account that you have contributed at the same time the name of the service charge. So it's just a left and right pocket exercise, you know, that help no one.
Okay.
I think Mr. Lok need to understand that he is the owner. So if the management is no good, what do? You change the management.
Right.
Or you raise the complaint and then you put a resolution in the general meeting. If everyone support you, that's time you do it. So because I think a lot of the people are having a mindset to say that, you know, the management is like the enemy. In that sense, can I change that E from enemy to employee? Right? In that sense, so they are actually accountable to you.
Yeah, you're paying.
You're paying for it and all these things. So by not paying them, it's just like telling me that if your employee not performing, can you not pay their salary? I said you can only when you rightfully terminate them.
Right. Correct? And then find a better employee.
Correct. Mm. Correct. So in that sense, I think what Mr. Rowe can do is to raise the issues with the committee directly. And if it's really not attended to, you can call for an AGM, address the issue, or to the extent to even replace the committee member if you want to. But I think the last thing you want is really not paying.
Mm.
All right. And you can also seek help from the Strata Management Tribunal and the Commission of Buildings should it escalate to a level that you cannot control.
That's a wonderful analogy, Chris. Mm. I love that. So, you know, it's like an employee. You think about it like that. If you fire the employee, who's going to get the work done?
Correct. I mean, it's the same thing. Like even if the things closest to us in our mind right now is GE 14 for that. I mean, you are the boss, Rakyat, right?
Yeah.
So if you think that your government is not doing a good job, change them. So it's the same thing. You know, and you can't say because you're giving me bad service, I'm not paying tax.
Right, right, for sure. Well, thank you so much for writing in, Mr. Look. I hope Chris helped you with your legal conundrum there in advising you as well as your fellow residents. All right, I think we have time for one last question. This came in on WhatsApp from Rebecca Sue. Can non-Bumis purchase property under the Bumiputra quota?
Okay, outright answer is no. Right, the reason
the simple
why
we, answer, that was a quick one.
Correct, because if you look at the wording, it's called Bumiputra quota, so a non-Bumi obviously can't buy a Bumiputra quota. But then, if you go into a little bit deeper, like I said, Bumiputra quota normally apply to the property developers. What happens is that the property developers, when they want to do a new development, the local authority might set certain thing to say that, you know, how many percent of your property must reserve for Bumiputra.
It can go as high as 40%, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
The normal in KL is 30.
But 30, okay.
I've seen 70% in Kedah.
I've seen Johor, if I'm not mistaken, about 40, but 70 in Kedah.
Yes, in Kedah. So there was a point of contention last time. So these are quota. So when I say quota means that I have to show that I fulfill it. Correct? It's just like, you know, IPO listing and all that. There's also a Bumiputra into the spread and everything. There's a spread for 25% public, you know, things like that. It's the same concept. So basically, I'm saying to you is that how much you must meet it. But once you meet the quota, everything go. Which means that I must show to the authority that I have met this quota at least one time in one point. All right? And after that, everyone is free to buy. Okay? That is the general rules. Again, exception. When we say exception, because some of the local authorities treat this differently.
Oh, okay. It varies from different local authorities.
State to state. Okay. But I would say that generally what it means that normally Bumi Kota unit is for the Bumi to purchase once, and after that, it will free to sell to others.
So secondary sale is open to anyone.
Correct.
Else.
Because it's also an issue for the Bumi buyer. You think about it, the Bumi investor, if I've bought it, I want to be able to sell to everyone rather than say I need to sell back to Bumi.
Correct.
Correct. So even we have instances, this question is posed by Rebecca to say that, hey, can I non-Bumi buy Bumiputra quota? Do you know that there's a lot of time there's a request from Bumi purchaser, can I buy non-Bumi quota unit?
Why would they?
Because when they do that, because they are very sure then they will not face with some strange obligation later. If, let's say, they go and stamp on the title later, it come out, it said Bumiputra only. Then they cannot sell.
Okay.
So what I'm saying to you is that some of the Bumiputra purchasers who have bought Bumiputra quota also suffer, you know, as a result, because some of the local authority, because I do know some authority actually stamp on the title Bumiputra only, you know, that kind of thing. So, okay. Which is not required anyway, but they just take the enforcement of the affirmative policy that we have a little bit too far.
Sure. From the point of view of the property developer, is there a way to convert unsold property, Bumiputra quota units to non-Bumi units?
Yes, there is, but you have to show efforts. So that's why you will see from time to time, the developers, okay, what developers, if let's say I didn't fulfill the quota, and I've tried very long, and you want to appeal, then the authority will say, you have shown me the effort that you try to sell to Bumi. So you see a lot of advertisement just aiming on Bumi only, right? So you have to do it in the Malay newspaper, for example, things like that. And you have even property exhibition for Bumi. I'm not sure whether you know that there's a lot of Bumi addition, which means it's trying to help everyone to do the Bumi quota.
Right.
So once you do it, then you're trying to tell the authority, you see, I've done my advertisement, I've engaged a sales force, and I have the exhibition, I participate, my name is there, I've done it, so I still cannot sell. So when they say I still cannot sell, then the local authority then will impose condition whether to approve or not.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. I hope we answered your question there, Rebecca. Now, you too can ask Chris a question on any legal matters of property ownership. Again, send us an email at property@bfm.my. That's our email address. Or send us a note on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Make sure you mention The Property Show and we can pass your question along to Chris. Chris, thank you so much for being on this month's Property Legal Clinic. It's always a pleasure to have you, and we'll have you again next month on the last Friday of the month.
Thanks, Melissa.
That's it for The Property Show today. We've got the 10 o'clock news bulletin coming up next. I'm Melissa Idris for The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.